material than I'll get through today. But I'll just say at the beginning, I'm not going to stick to the material in the booklet too closely, at least at the beginning. I'm going to, as the old saying is, do what I want to do the way I want to do it. And it may or may not be to your advantage. But I think a lot of the material has been gone over already, because in all of the lesson materials, there's a lot of overlapping. But I want to begin with some material that's more or less my material. Basically, it's an introduction to materials on another lesson that I've worked on in times past. But first, let me say that I'm grateful for the audience that we do have. I was hopeful that we'd have a lot of folk from maybe the area to come, a lot more of our people that would be able to come. And you'll notice, I'm sure that there'll be a lot of difference in my speaking ability as perhaps weighed against 3 months ago. Some of you may not know, but I've got shingles that's coming back again, and I have not been over the other as yet. I've been dealing with that, of course, for 8 months. Hope this new approach is not another 8 months, to say the least, but they put me on another drug, and I'm not sure yet whether it's going to be helpful or maybe even more harmful. But I want to begin by going to the beginning of the Bible. The opening verse of the Bible is the most outstanding statement that mankind has ever encountered. I'm not sure whether mankind in general has realized it or not, but it is. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And the earth was without form and void. And of course, darkness was upon the face of the deep, and so forth. A fellow by the name of Herbert Spencer, and I believe that his life span began back in about, see if I can find my note here, in about 1820. 1820, and he lived to 1903. Said that in this is the most astounding statement that could ever be made. And of course, it was because it was made by God Himself. He said, in this statement alone, everything that you can think of can be placed categorically. Because in it there is time, power, and there is action, space, and matter. In the beginning, time, God, power, all power, all authority, created action, heaven or heavens, space, earth, matter. Name one thing that will not in some way fit into those, one of those, or maybe in some cases, more than one way. There isn't any. There's not any. In my blue Bible, the New Open Bible is called. There is this about the 6 days of creation. Brother Harry touched upon some of this. I think it's some outstanding material, and it will fit in with a lot that we encounter when we study John. John, particularly the first chapter, and over in chapter 8, chapter 9, which my material deals with. Let me just read this, and it won't take but just a few of our short 30 minutes. According to the book of Genesis, God created the world and all that is in it in 6 days. And then he declared it all to be very good, Genesis 1:31. The Creator rested on the seventh day, Genesis 2:1-3. While there were other creation stories, quotation mark, among the pagan nations of the ancient world, the biblical account is unique in that God existed before creation and called the physical world into being from nothing, Genesis 1:1-2, and John 1:2-3. And called the physical world into being from nothing. And these are pagan nations, particularly the Babylonians, believe the material universe was eternal and that it brought their gods into being. But Genesis describes a God who is clearly superior to the physical world and began organizing shapeless and barren earth, Genesis 1:2, providing light, verses 3-5 of chapter 1, and separating land from water, chapter 1:6-10. The creation of plant and animal life followed, including creation of the sea, the air, and the land, verses 11-25. Man and woman were created on the sixth day, verses 26-28, before the Creator's Sabbath rest, chapter 2, verses 1-3. Scholars disagree about the length of the creation days. Some believe these were actual 24-hour days, while others believe there were periods of undetermined length. Regardless of the length of these days, the biblical writer is declaring that God created the world in orderly fashion as part of a master plan. The world did not just evolve on its own or by accident. The quote, gap theory advanced to reconcile the biblical account of the creation with geology holds that creation in Genesis 1:1 was followed by catastrophe. Chapter 1, verse 2, then succeeded by God's recreation or reshaping of the physical world, chapter 1, 3-31. But this theory reduces God to a weak being with little control over his own creation. The powerful God who created the world also presides over its destiny. Man and woman are the crowning achievement of God's creative work, Psalms 8, verse 5. As free moral beings who bear the image of God, they were assigned dominion over the natural world, Genesis 1:27-28. They alone among the living creatures of the world are equipped for fellowship with their Creator. Now that all sounds very good and very close, of course, to what we believe the Bible teaches. But we can over and over again encounter a lot of things in dealing with humankind and the things that they believe or that they come up with that they think the Bible teaches, which is altogether wrong. I wanted us to think about what we encounter sometimes in dealing with people in the religious world round about us, and maybe even in our experiences as far as the churches of Christ are concerned, and maybe with the things that we encounter and we find in our hymn books. Our lesson, this particular lesson too, has to do with light, lighthouse, that type thing, as is indicated even by these props and so forth that we have. In our hymn book, How many hymns do we encounter with the matter of walking, say, like in the light, walk, walk, walk in the light, the glorious gospel light? In the index of our hymn book, there are many. In fact, there are 57 listings in the index of that hymn book that has to do with light or lights. In our lesson material, in the little booklet that we have, there are many, many references to light or lights, to Jesus is the light. He is the way, the truth. And sometimes the word is light and sometimes it's life. And of course, he is both. He is the way, he's the truth, and the life. There's a lot of things that we could mention concerning miracles and so forth. And this has been mentioned before, the healing miracles on individuals. And Brother Harry has mentioned this, such as Naaman and Hezekiah and so forth, the Israelites being bitten by snakes and being healed and so forth. But I want us to more particularly now go to some other things in regard to the booklet and the material that is in it, get some of the things out of the way. Let's see here. Then we got my pages out of order, Brother Harry. Do you ever do that? From the little booklet, and you may be interested in that or not, but I've painted my lighthouse, put a little emphasis on the lighthouse. Some of us have gotten to the point that we need a little more light from our lighthouse, and that would be true of a good legible print in our Bibles. John 8:12, I am the light of the world. And of course, Christ is a spokesman. The text is 9:1-12, and I'm not going to take the time to read that. But light has been a part of the plan of God from the very beginning. In the beginning, when God created the heavens and the earth, remember there was a point in time, in fact, in the very beginning of time, when there was darkness. God stepped out, I'll use that in quotation. God said, let there be light. And then he said, let there be light. And then again he said, I said, let there be light. And then he turned around again, I'm not going to say this again. Let there be light. And I know you're thinking, no, he didn't. Why not? God only needs to say a thing one time for it not only to be so, but to be done. Why cannot people today understand that? Stubborn, self-willed, hard-headed. People are people. And some people are like that proverbial old mule. You've got to get his attention. You may have to, as they would say in Arkansas, bust him upside the head with a tuba fork. Get his attention. And sometimes it takes some kind of catastrophic event to get their attention. It may be a tragic accident. A tragic thing happened, and I don't know what the event or what it will eventually turn out to be, but a 57-year-old recent retiree from the Navy, a helicopter pilot, just suddenly had a heart attack and died. Alan Beach, my son-in-law's younger brother. Had not really been sick, but several of members of his family are not, quote, safely Christian people. Be that as it may, the first recorded spoken words, "Let there be light." What the world needs today is the light of the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ. God is light, 1 John 1:5. It is surprising that light came first. When the light goes out at your house, the light goes off, maybe somebody knocked the utility pole down, bad wreck, lightning strike, utility line, whatever. The first thing you need is a candle, a flashlight, something. You need some light. In most houses, the light goes off. It takes a little while to find something so you can get around. Anytime you try to do something with skill, the first thing that you need is a good light. Is there anything as prevalent in our world as the usefulness and the effectiveness as light? You think about a surgeon trying to do some intricate surgery in the dark. Think about those surgeons back there in the Civil War. Even in the daytime, in the daylight, they didn't have very good light. But what about by candlelight in the darkness of night and with some of the crudest instruments? Go into Petersburg, Virginia, and go into some of those hospitals, quotation marks, where they use hacksaws and butcher knives and some of the most crudest instruments in the world to do surgery with. And you know my time will be gone before I get started. Light is powerful. There's some powerful light in our world today. When some of you, and this is a possibility, when some of you were, say, 5 years old, and some of us have to scratch our heads and think back to five, and some of you are sleeping at least in your own room, that wasn't the case with me. I was in a room with 4, 5, or 6 other young'uns, sometimes at least 2 or 3 other young'uns in the same bed, where there were 3 boys, well, 2 of us 15 minutes apart, birthwise, and then the next oldest brother was 18 months, so three boys in the same bed. Somebody said, Yeah. 2 at the head and 1 at the foot. Easy enough. And then maybe later on there'd be 4. 2 at the head and 2 at the foot of the bed. And by the way, that was a straw tick bed too. Some of you never saw one, much less had to sleep on one. But that would have been good for you. Good experience. But you were 5 years old and sleeping in your own room, perhaps. It was dark. And your mother plugged in a light in the corner so you wouldn't be scared at night. Is that true with you? You didn't have no light, night light at 5, did you? Well, see, he's a young man. But anyway, what about when you were young in school and you had the experience of taking a magnifying glass, positioning it over a leaf, and letting the sun rays sitting at a fire. Well, we didn't have the magnifying glass that you could buy, but we'd take the glass out of a flashlight and use that. It was magnifying, do the same thing. And then he goes on, whoever did this material, and talks about it in the laboratory, some experiences. I didn't have any laboratory experience until I got into college. Out of high school, 11 years. So that made me 29 years old before I had any lab experience. But nevertheless, maybe you went down into a deep cavern or something on a field trip in high school. No. Later, college and so forth. But some of those places were your first experiences. And in some of them, there was experiences of intense darkness. And you were very, very happy when they turned the lights on. Because it was scary down there in that intense darkness. Now, it wasn't like it was in Egypt when it was so dark, as old saying was, you could feel it. Now, that's intense darkness. No other New Testament writer is as true to his theme as John. Bread, belief, truth, life, light. John inked out the word light 16 times in the first 12 chapters of his gospel account. His contrast is that of light versus darkness. And it begins in John 1, verse 4, and down through 14. In him, Christ was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness, to bear witness about the light, that all might believe through him. He was not the light, but came to bear witness about the light. The true light, which gives light to everyone, was coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made through him. And yet the world did not know him. He came to his own, and his own people did not receive him. But all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become the children of God, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we have seen his glory, the glory as of the only Son. And that should have been the only forgotten or begotten Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. Now I want to close. Do I have the 5 minutes, or is that it? Is that a 5 minute warning? Is that the end?
Yeah.
No 5 minute warning?
Yeah. Oh.
No, I want more than just 1 minute. Okay, let me do this. I want to end with this. There's a hymn in this book we used in St. Louis, Missouri, back in the 50s. I heard the voice of Jesus say, "Come unto me and rest. Lay down, thou weary one. Lay down thy head on my breast." I found in him a resting place, and he has made me glad. I heard the voice of Jesus say, "Behold, I freely give. The living water, thirsty one, stoop down and drink and live." I heard the voice of Jesus say, "I am this dark world's light. Look unto me, thy morn shall rise, and all thy day be bright." I heard the voice of Jesus say, "I am this dark world's light. Look unto me, and morn shall rise, and all thy day be done." I looked to Jesus, and I found in him my star, my sun. Thanks for listening, and I hope there's something in this, even though it's rambling like a loose tire. Maybe there's something there that was maybe helpful in causing you to think more and more about the fact that after many, many years between Genesis 1 and when John came on the scene, they were still on the same scene, talking about the very same great and mighty God and his only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, and his death on the cross for our sins. Thank you.